We're going to make plays. We're going to play hard. We're going to do what we got to do. O-line, D-line, toughness, 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 toughness.
Hey, Buckeye Nation. Welcome to the Buckeye Cast, your only commercial-free Ohio State football podcast. These guys were born and bred in the Buckeye State, and they like to talk Buckeye football and drink bourbon. Subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. Now, pour a drink and pull up a stool. Here's your host, Joe Warwick.
What is up? We are back. We are back. We are back. Happy Labor Day weekend. Coming at you, folks. As always, please hit the supply store. We got free shipping going on. Limited time on that, so get your orders in ASAFP. Bourbon talk. I got some scotch to talk about. Sean, you got any bourbon to talk about?
No, I picked me up a bottle of Buffalo. Ooh. To get to be fall, and yeah, the place was well stocked. I just got the fifth. They did have the big bottle, but
nice.
Trying to take it easy.
What are we pricing that at up in your neck of the nape?
Oh, I think that was like $25.99, I believe.
Great price. That's great. That's good, because I have to buy mine from California, and it's like $21 a bottle, but then you tack on $6 for shipping each. So I have to place big orders at a time. Fortunately, I use it up relatively quickly. But I got into some Johnny Walker last night. Football season is my Johnny Walker season. So I dipped into the black, nice and smoky. Love that one. Had a couple pulls on that one, and I saved the Johnny Walker Blue for big Buckeye victories, like playoff games, maybe a Big Ten championship. But I've got quite a bit of blue.
This was a big victory. Don't sell it short.
I wouldn't. The Gophers week one are a solid victory going into their neighborhood and beating down a very large team. So, Sean, there's this old saying I wanted to run past you. Please, I'll start it, and if you've heard it, please finish it for me. But you may have never heard this before. So, the question starts: what is the best thing about being 1-0?
Chance to go 2-0.
There you go. You've heard that before. I didn't think anybody ever heard that saying before. Good job. That explains why we're from the same region. So this is overreaction Monday-ish, Sunday night. Buckeyes win 45-31. Kind of going away. You could argue that, I guess. If they would have played a little longer, maybe we would have put up 60. Who knows? Anyways, Sean, I want to ask you, what is your one big thing? If you had one big takeaway, one glaring item, position, player, whatever, coach even, what would be that for this game?
Oh, gosh.
One thing.
Well, my one thing got me on the spot.
It's a big thing, though. It has to be one big thing, not like the size of the cleats.
I would say my one big thing in general is who are our starters in the back seven other than Mitchell?
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on there. A lot of guys got time. I don't know if they're trying to figure it out. I don't know. I don't know what's going on back there. I'm a little concerned about it. Maybe it was that way on purpose, because this is not really a typical offense like we're going to face most of the year, that's lining up with those behemoths and wanting to run it.
Right.
So maybe that instituted some of the personnel change and whatnot, but I really don't know who my guys are back there yet. I don't.
Yeah. I'm on board with you there, only I'm going to flip it over to the running back position because I'm concerned about the splitting of carries between guys that some guys maybe don't need so many but got a lot, and maybe some guys need some more. Obviously, I'm talking about Mayan and Travion. So that's my one big thing that stood out to me, that because it is like a staple of the offense, you got to have at least one or two guys. You got to have one or two guys that are your guys. And I realized that, you know, maybe Ryan Day felt that they were okay to split carries, play a lot of depth throughout the team, not just the running backs and the defense like you talked about. But I think maybe he felt safe enough to get the dub and still play a lot of young guys. But I'm very concerned about the running back room and how this moves forward. So going forward, I'll run through my quick notes and you can interject whenever you like.
Sure.
I went back and watched the 60-minute version today. And quickly, I'll say Stroud was struggling early. Was that the rain or was that just his head? O-line was strong. Luke Whipler was almost perfect. He had a couple worm burners, but nothing that cost us. Travion is electric. More Mayan, more Travion, less Teague and Crowley. CJ has to be a more willing runner. Quick strikes, we can score from anywhere on the field. We had no rotation at wide receiver. And I was happy the offense closed out the game with 4 minutes left. So please, if you want to touch on any of those or go in your own direction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, just to piggyback on the running back conversation. Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think, I forget what my carries were, and I was hoping it was going to be 10, 10, 10 if we had 30 carries. And,
yeah. They had 26.
Now from seeing what I'm seeing, I'm just, I don't know. Teague, I think, has his spot, but from what Mayan did early, I don't know why you don't keep feeding that and kind of hot hand, unless there's something we don't know about that was going on with him. And then, yeah, Travion, I mean, boom, gone.
Yeah.
More of that, please. Much more of that.
Yeah.
And what did he get? He got two carries and one reception?
Exactly. Three touches. He was in for 7 snaps.
First game, big game, though. We were in that game, and maybe it's a little bit hard to, you know, put the trust in a true freshman like that. If that game was, you know, we were comfortable earlier than that, maybe it'd have been a different thing. But you know, you got to go into a little bit of conservative mode. You can't do something stupid week one with a freshman. Yeah. And they're definitely blaming on the coach. Like, coach, hey, man, you're the one to put him in there. What, right. You know, you got these other guys.
Yeah, I agree. Teague has a role. It's just not a 10 carry a game kind of role. I mean, I don't know what his role is, but and same with Crowley. Sorry, but
I think Crowley looks good. Like. In pass pro,
yeah.
You know, I think that might be what Crowley, a toughness about Crowley maybe that gets him in there. You know, especially with the young quarterbacks, like, hey, I need somebody to protect this kid.
Yeah, I get you. That's a good point. I didn't really investigate Mayan's pass pro, but. And same with Master. I mean, Master's always been a good pass pro guy. He does get blown up on occasion, but I just think you got to give more carries to Mayan and Travion. You know,
the sample's small.
And, yeah,
but
that's
so far, it's so good.
Yeah,
and yeah, I'm with you.
It's overreaction week. I mean, week one. we expect everything to be perfect and the coaches to know what they got, but they really, we really don't know till the lights come on, you know, literally. Quick strikes. I mean, we saw it. It was a little slow going early on. CJ said himself, you know, in the interviews after the game, that he was kind of not really ready. He was a little, you know, uptight and just talked to his teammates and stuff. And obviously,
airmailed some balls.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what happens when a guy is maybe too hyped, you know, too full of adrenaline. You know, they put too much into it. And second half, though, I mean, credit to Ryan Day, honestly, for sticking with the kid, not pulling it down and being more conservative and handing the ball off more. He let him throw through it. You know, he let him continue to throw, and the shit came around. I mean, and he was crazy effective in that second half. Oh, my God.
He was effective, but the thing I still don't know is, I mean, I think that was some crazy, either great play calling one. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's D, I mean, these guys, we were wide open on all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's around these guys. And there wasn't a bunch of contested type of balls that I'm thinking off the top of my head, at least the touchdown plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a legit point. I mean, their secondary was playing back. And, you know, Olave and Wilson are catching balls in front of them and going, you know, especially Olave. He caught a couple balls in front of their secondary and just took it up the sideline for scores.
Yeah, I would have thought, especially with the young kid, I would have thought we would have saw a little bit more of Smith to Gia, but you saw him like early, but then he didn't get much
right
on that game. I would have thought the slot would have been kind of more of a safety valve for him.
That's true. And that's another thing that kind of chaps my ass is the tight end production. We had one catch for Rucker.
Right.
You would have thought that running those guys over the middle would have been an easy pitch and catch for a young quarterback, you know. I would have expected more, at least more looks. But everything was to the wide receivers and, you know.
Well, you knew that was going to be a decent game, but maybe, just maybe, Ryan Day left some stuff in the bag that he didn't want to show Oregon at all for game one. And, you know, they come in studying one film and boom, you hit them with some tight ends and slot receivers.
Yeah.
And they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's a legit point. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. So coming off the stats here, CJ almost goes for 300, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. All I hear, though, like on the shows and everybody within the last 24 hours talking about Ohio State is like, oh, CJ looked okay. He didn't really do much. I'm like, check the fucking stats. He almost went for 300 fucking first game.
Yeah, but I will kind of agree with that because, I mean, so much of that was made by those receivers, whether it was Travion or Olave. I mean, look, the stats are good, but those stats are a little bit padded from some exceptional play. Is Jeff with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
I stood quietly enjoying your riveting point about some help in the receiving corps making some plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Trey Henderson pass, was that 71 yards?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, 71. On the screen. Quickly, first, Jeff, we start
that's
off.
That's an easy 71. That's a nice starter right there.
Jeff, first off, we started with our one big thing of the game. So if you had to pick out one big thing that stood out to you, whether it was a player.
I was saying, with regards to the line changes, like in a hockey game. You know, where, you know, every 15 seconds, there's a group of dudes running off and people are just changing. But my other point was going to be that I think maybe they were trying to just get in that best 11 that they, you know, that they wanted to get a bunch of packages and see their best 11 versus a lot of different formations.
Okay.
So they were taking themselves maybe out of their regular defense to try to do that. Just a thought. I mean, obviously we don't know what their best 11 means.
I thought they were trying to find their best 54 because that's how many dudes played.
I think there's a lot of questions still. It tells me from the coaches, like there's
right.
Nobody's no, you know, there's no positions that are been taken control of, or not. There's not as many maybe that we think. We saw a lot of people in the field, which I get. I think it's great to just throw everybody in there. But I totally expect this to work itself out over the next couple games. You know,
Cam didn't help the situation with those two being out.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, that's a huge. I mean, that's that's not a small thing. You know, your two guys that were probably going to be health wise if they were healthy, your two starting corners, and then you go two sophomore, two freshmen, and sophomore has had zero starts.
So what was your big thing from the game?
The amount of changing we were doing, the amount of substitutions.
Rotations, okay.
Rotations.
Offense? Yeah. Not an offense, on defense you're talking about.
Yeah, that was more on defense, but yeah. I didn't know we were...
That's fine. Yeah, just when Sean was kind of in a similar situation in the rotation, but... So we got Stroud almost going for 300 yards, four touchdowns. The pick was a terrible throw, and like Ryan Day said, a terrible read as well. That's for Ryan Day to say. I can't tell him that. But
you saw Garrett Wilson wide open on that play.
That was
the one he threw to Olave.
Olave, the
interception. Right. Yeah. But Garrett was wide open. Right. They had a broken coverage.
Exactly. So, yeah, I just ran through some of my highlights. I went back and watched the game today and took some notes. A lot of it was, you know, basic stuff, nothing exciting. O-line was great, I would call it. Travion is electric, yeah. More Mayan and Travion, less Teague and Crowley. CJ needs to be a more willing runner. Quick strikes, we can score from anywhere on the field. No rotation at receiver until the last 4 minutes.
Yeah, that was... I took notice of that during the game.
Yeah. So, Mayan went for 125. Obviously, the 70-yarder. Teague, you know, six carries. Crowley, six carries. They gave it to Crowley late in the game, which I was kind of surprised. And then the snap counts, again, me and Sean were just talking about a big issue. Travion needs more than seven snaps. He had three touches and seven snaps.
He will. Okay. I'm sure they noticed that as well. You know what I mean? And they're like, yep, okay. It is what we were hoping it is. You know, now they know. And now I'm sure there's all kinds of shit's going to open up for him.
Cutting off the old guy and playing to the young guy, though. Like, say you cut back Master Teague and Crowley's snaps and you start handing more to Travion.
Everything's earned.
It's a meritocracy. The team knows. You can't lie to the team. If the team knows he should be getting the ball, why would you still placate to the older guys in the program just because they're good, you know, guys in the program. The team knows. You're not going to lie to the team like that. That coach, he'll lose the rest of that locker room.
Well, they went to Master Teague early.
I'm not talking into any discussions about playing time after the first game.
Jeff, this is week one, overreaction week.
We can. Exactly. I think they got a lot of people they feel earned a show, you know, to learn earned the right to show what they got. And they found out quick that some of the people, they earned a shot, but they don't have it yet. I'm not going to bring it. I guess I don't want to name names in our defensive secondary, but some of those guys
look name like names.
They just said they weren't. They didn't look like they were actually ready for big time college football.
Yeah, you think they played fucking 24 guys? Getting 24 guys ready.
Yeah, I can't imagine playing when you don't like coming in and out of the game and not knowing. You know, you just got to stand by the coach. Like 12 guys standing by the coach. Like, yeah. Well, depending on what he says. Depends on who goes in.
Well, before we flip over to defense, I got two issues here that I need to bring up with the offense. Jeremy Rucker, Kate Stover. One reception, Jeremy Rucker, a nice 15-yarder. Kate Stover obviously wants to get in there and just kill people, and that's fine. But the tight end is there. I know they'll see this. I hope they hear this. And Jackson Smith and Jigba, sorely underused. I know Olave and Wilson had 4 and 5 catches, you know, for big yardage. But you got to use the middle of the field. The middle of the field was open. So pile on or pile off, how you feel.
Well, are you sure the middle of the field was open? Because on most of the balls Olave caught, where he was at was open. So, I mean, everywhere can't be open.
Can't. I mean, why not?
I mean,
it's like Minnesota defense.
Well,
I saw some openings. I mean, yes.
That too. I mean, if we sit here and think about it, we have probably 7 guys we want to see touch the ball at least 7-8 times, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a long list. The first game, and Stroud, you know, CJ kind of wasn't
Mike Johnson.
Yeah, well, see, he was struggling in the first half. I mean, he was. Coach yeah. Day saw it. Everybody did.
Yeah, so it might have been rain. Might have been, you know. He said he was
on
the
road
in his own head.
A lot of that is keeping the same 3 receivers in. He's like, no, I need to get work with CJ. He needs to be as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
We got to stay with these 3.
I think that's what it was more than anything.
And it's not like we were running 80 plays. You know, Minnesota had the goddamn ball the whole time.
That's what I was going to just say. We had the ball for 21 minutes for the game.
They were able to not be so winded because, you know, we were running the ball as well. We weren't just, you know, going, you know.
Well, I think that's why a lot of that rotation was as well. It's just that. They were out there so long. I think these guys were getting gassed. I mean, you could tell it. Some of the guys on the D line, you know, hands on their hips, taking a knee before. I mean, they were gassed.
Yeah, my wife has noticed it. She's like, "Who? 92? Yeah, Garrett. Yeah, yeah. He's fucking beat. Look at him. Seems like he's exhausted."
Yeah. So let's get over to the defense here. I'll give you my quick notes, and feel free to chime in when you see fit. My first notice was the front 7 got worked for the entire game. Like I said, time of possession was 40 to 21, 39 to 21, you know, 40 to 20, whatever, with giving up 408 yards total offense. We played 24 guys. The fucking missed holding calls on the D linemen was atrocious, but you could say that about most games. Denzel Burke and Ryan Watts got baptized. Some terrible pass interference calls. The calls were legit. The coverage was terrible.
The infraction itself,
and the reaction sometimes. It's like, you know.
Yeah. Ryan Watts, the one Watts, he's like, he didn't even see the ball. He never saw the ball.
He could have actually picked it off if had he looked back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, let me continue.
And then the one was Legend.
Yeah.
Lejean, I mean, he was blatantly pass interference, and they didn't call it. And then he's getting a little too excited. Just get back to the huddle, dude. You got away with one.
So more Cody Simon, less Eichenberg and Gant. Legend equals. So these are my notes. Legend equals Damon Arnett. Zach Harrison.
Early off Damon Arnett.
Yeah. Zach Harrison, Tyreek Smith were neutralized. They had one sack, and that was the strip sack by Zach. Otherwise, the other sack was from Cody Simon. So D-line did nothing. could not get a meaningful stop on defense. And this is an overarching college football issue. They got to relax on the targeting calls. Every time a guy gets hit with a helmet doesn't mean it's a targeting. I saw this in multiple games. It's not just the Ohio State game. They got to fucking relax with throwing a fucking targeting flag. So anyways, guys, jump in on any of those points you like. Go ahead, Jeff.
Any of them. The targeting, you know, I agree. There are some. They even had one in the Clemson-Georgia game last night, yeah. Of course. Skowski was involved in one, of course.
No, what?
Funny. It's funny. He also got checked for a concussion last night, too.
Yeah.
In the tent.
Did somebody check his fingers for bunghole?
I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, it's intent. You're trying to judge intent, but that's really what you should be judging it on, because incidental contact happens. You know, if somebody's legitimately trying to, you know, use the crown of their helmet at someone, changing their, like, purposely changing their, you know, their angle or whatever, to use the crown of the helmet as the point of contact, that's hard to see. It's hard to see, and it definitely should be reviewable. And if you're going to keep the rule the same, but at least make it a 15 or 20 year penalty or whatever, not an ejection.
What do you think about some of the other points, though, Sean? The time of possession, the yards given up, rotating 24 guys, the missed holding calls, any of those. Legend is Damon Arnett.
I was getting to that one next, Joe. Hold on.
I'd like to see a little more football playing, a little less hype out of Legend. But look, that D-line was going against the biggest O-line. Four graduate seniors and another senior that were massive dudes.
Hey, and by average age, they're older than the Vikings O-line. By average age. No joke.
I believe it.
That's nuts.
And it's close. You know, it's like right. 0.9 of a year, but it's like one of the weird things I heard the other day.
And so I expected those guys to be really good. I think if Minnesota can just tweak that defense a little bit, Minnesota's got a chance on that side. I thought that until Ibrahim went down. That's going to hurt them. That kid runs hard.
Yeah.
He was going to get his. I think Minnesota went in there with a great game plan. You know, Flex got him rolling the boat. They were hyped. He's an inspirational guy. And they gave it a heck of a try and had me worried for a minute late in the second. So,
what do you think about the corner play with Burke and Ryan Watts in that first half? Then,
I wasn't impressed with much of the playback there. Frankly, I know what's the name of it. I had a few pass breakups, but I don't know. Actually, for first game and freshmen and that type of status, actually very impressed, but we're going to need to be better than we were.
Yeah. And then you got Gant and Eichenberg.
Proctor. What's the latest on Proctor?
No word yet.
Yes.
He did, after the game, he was in a sling, and he said he'd be okay for this week, but he's not a doctor, Proctor. Proctor.
So, but that tells me it may be something like a separated shoulder, it's not a break, like a broken collarbone. Because he would know he's not playing, sure.
Right.
On a break or something like that.
Yeah, I wasn't super pumped with Eichenberg and Gant's performance.
I don't think Gant, I think Gant's been, he's been passed by. I think he's just, you know, like, you don't like what used to happen. You know, guy's in the program 3 years, but he's been battling injuries. People are coming in faster and stronger and better.
That was a little ticky tack on the call against
it was
him,
it was lazy.
I'm not really calling the roughing the passer really into his performance. I'm not bringing that into it when I say I don't think he's he's, I don't think he's our best linebacker. I don't think he should be on the field. Yeah. I don't know. that's what I'm trying to say.
Especially if we're only playing two linebackers nowadays, which, you know, seems to be the case. So
yeah. I think it should be Mitchell.
Overreaction Monday. Gant should have left. Overreaction Monday.
There you go. And yeah, I agree. It should be Simon and Taraja. I mean, barring injury, that should be the starters. And then you bring.
But again, you know what? I don't know if I'd want just Simon out there for 50-something run plays against that O-line. I mean, I almost do want some rotation in a game like that and put Eichenberg in there to eat up some of those guard blocks. I mean, that's a long day being a linebacker playing that Minnesota team. That's a long day.
I think that you know, we're going to overreact because even though it's the first game, but we played 24 guys on defense, you said, Joe, right?
Yep.
You know, the coaches probably felt that all 24 of them have done enough in spring and, you know, in fall camp, summer camp and everything to earn that effort. Now, after this game, I don't expect it to nearly be the same type of situation. It's going to get starting to get worked out. You know, we'll see this week. I guarantee it'll be considerably noticeable, the difference, you know, in the substitutions and playing time and maybe touches and all that kind of stuff. I think and then as the season goes, I think it'll kind of, you know, kind of percolate back out to like a normal year. But there's a lot of people that are really good on our team, man. So we've got a lot of guys that are really good. So if they keep earning it in practice, the coach is going to say, well, fuck it. And we got to keep playing 15 guys on defense this week. Or, you know, 16 guys.
If Minnesota can keep that mindset and keep pounding the rock and run it 40, 50 times a game in ball control, and one of their guys steps up behind Ibrahim, I mean, I think they're going to be a legitimate shot over there on that side.
I think they lost Ibrahim, though.
Yeah.
That was an Achilles.
I don't know. I'm not sure how much that guy behind him at number three, I think he was.
Potts?
Potts. I don't know if he can carry him like that. I thought, too, with Ibrahim, they could challenge. Because if they can lean on you and just fucking run the him, if he can run 30, 40 times a game against Iowa, Wisconsin, oh, yeah, you got a shot.
Because we can bring in Eichenberg and Gant. Not everybody else can, like, man, you know.
Yeah.
We can rotate linebackers in and out and hang.
Right.
Like you said, Joe, different games. The next game's not going to be, you know, we're not going to need to run probably 24 people. I bet we probably see maybe, if we saw 24 this week or last week, 17 this week. That'd be my number. Maybe that'd be interesting to keep track of for the season.
Yeah, so just to rehash our final score predictions, because we want to hold everyone accountable. Buckeyes won 45-31, so they covered the 13.5 spread and the over at 65.5. I had the Buckeyes 47-17. Sean had 52-20. Jeff had 42-13. And he had a little teaser on there that the Buckeyes would go over 300 yards passing as a team. And that was false.
6 yards short.
So I don't know who got the closer of the scores there. I would say I did probably, but
it's debatable. Well, you're the host, of course.
What's yours?
Tie goes to the host, I guess.
I had 47-17.
So, you got it, right?
Seems to work for me.
I had 42-13?
Yeah.
Yes, you're close. It's a 20-point spread anyway.
I didn't think they would. I had no idea what kind of offense Minnesota had. Honestly, I knew they were big line, real bad running back, you know, pounded at you. But I didn't. So I didn't know if they could fucking score. That guy does not scare me. I would love to face them again. You know.
That's a weak one opponent.
I would not want to face them again.
No. No, that'd be a tough ball game, but definitely physically.
I'm not worried about losing, but it's just, yeah, that's the other game beats you up.
Yeah, physically, you don't want that again.
That's true. Yeah, you can't have too many of those games and not have everybody, you know, because that's how Big Ten was for 30 years. Everybody had those games every week, and that's how they could never compete with anyone else.
Kind of glad it's out of the way with an extra couple days of rest.
Uh-huh.
Definitely needed.
Yeah, of course, the ESPN people and everybody will talk about this upset alert, you know, Oregon coming in to Ohio State. This is prior to the season starting. Well, I didn't catch all of the Oregon-Fresno game, but I don't know if they strike the fear. They should be striking fear in Columbus. They're coming in and playing a noon game on our home opener, and we have a couple extra days. I would imagine we come out and look a lot better, a lot more like crisper, you know, a lot more less sharper, I guess.
After Fresno gives them everything that they want, yeah. I mean, I'm really liking our team.
I'm not in fear. I'm not in fear of Oregon.
Has the line moved on Oregon, Joe?
I hadn't looked at the updated.
I think Joe might have fell off.
Well, back here at the Buck Podcast, me and Sean are discussing lines.
Yeah, it was 14 last I saw, and
I think I saw 13 and a half at one point. Maybe it went back to 14. I don't know. I'll take Buckeyes to cover on 14. Well, let me get any updated injuries first. Let me find out, you know, if because there might be a guy that's sitting out that we didn't even know about.
Well,
I had no,
That Thibodeau, did he leave the game or he was out?
He left the game. He left the game and then he was back on the sideline in street clothes.
Yeah. But are we done?
Oh, Joe. Hey.
Are we done with the Minnesota game, jumping into Oregon?
Yeah, I think we closed the book on Minnetonka.
All right. So let's get into it. 20th anniversary of 9/11. September 11th.
Never forget.
Saturday. Yeah, say a prayer. Coming to Columbus, big noon kickoff. We got the Ducks with Mario Crusty Balls. Sorry. I can't read that. Crusty Balls, yeah. Fourth year with Oregon. Pac-12 champs 2 years in a row, last 2 years. Last year they went 4-3. Yeah, the Pac-12 actually did play a season. We didn't even notice.
There was one?
Yeah, well, it's hard to notice when you get beat by Iowa State in the Fiesta Bowl. 2019, though, these guys were number 7 in the country. They went 12-2, beat Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. Beat them.
Same movie. Wisconsin. Just so, Czechoslovakia.
Yeah. So I would say after week one, they got a little caught looking ahead, I think, Mario. They had a tight one there with Fresno State. Yeah, Fresno State. It was tied up with 7 minutes to go in the game.
Go Dogs.
They pulled it out late. And so let me run through this offense real quick. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but got 9 starters coming back. They do have the transfer quarterback from Boston College, Anthony Brown. He's a fast guy. Not sure he's the greatest passer, but offense coordinator is Joe Moorhead. He's in his second year. Remember him with Penn State?
Penn State. Yeah.
He ran a no huddle, a lot of 11 personnel, 1 running back, 1 tight end.
A lot of the with the Saquon Barkley. Yeah. What the fuck's his name? Little quarterback, Trace McSorley.
McSorley.
That was yeah. That was Moorhead's. Yeah. Probably peak days in Penn State.
Yeah. And they had a good tight end, one of those tall, gangly fuckers.
But they have every year. Zeki,
he's changed the uniform. Yeah,
and them in Iowa, you just stamp them. Boom, yeah. New one.
So last year they're doing well on offense. 4.9 yards a carry. They're going to come out and run the ball. They're going to be physical. Allowed 11 sacks. Keep in mind this was 7 games. But had a -9 turnover ratio. Different quarterback, of course. PFF ranks Anthony Brown 8th in their conference and 79th in all of college football. So doesn't sound fantastic to me. And he went 15 for 24, 172 yards, 1 touchdown against Fresno this past week. C.J. Verdell is their true running threat. Him and Travis Dye. These guys both went for about 70 yards and a touchdown each. QB will run the ball, like I mentioned. He's pretty fast. You know, he had a few carries. Verdell went for 1,000 yards back in 2018 and 2019 each. And then Travis Dye went for close to 700 2018 and 2019. So these guys are going to fucking, similarly to Minnesota, get up and pound the rock. You know, their O-line averages a 6'5", 322 across the board.
Damn.
So again,
that's bigger than ours.
This is a different offense. It's not a lineup like where Minnesota brought in 6 or 7 O-linemen. This team is going to go no huddle, or at least you know, very short huddle tempo, and pound you.
So like us.
I guess you could say that, yeah. Better quarterback, I would hope.
I didn't realize that O-line was like Minnesota's. Like, man, get me off of his other. Well, maybe that's why they use so many guys. Who's going to tackle? Who's going to get in there?
Yeah. So, going to be an all-day affair, even though it's a 9 a.m. Body clock time for the Ducks coming into Columbus. But the defense, they got 7 starters coming back. They allowed 400 yards a game last year, so doesn't sound promising. 4.2 yards per carry they allowed, and 14.3 yards per pass. That sounds like a lot. Only 12 sacks, and that's even with the best defensive end on, you know, in the country, Kayvon Thibodeau.
And he is legit too.
Sure,
he is legit
when he's playing.
I mean that. Right. There have been some injuries. But when he played in that Pac-12 championship game, I watched it against USC.
Right,
that dude, yeah, he abused regularly. He was a first round draft pick of the Jets.
Well, this Fresno QB,
he beat him like he stole something.
This Fresno QB went almost 75% against them last week for 300 yards and a touch. Their linebackers are hurting right now. Drew Mathis was on crutches with a left knee injury during the game. And as we mentioned earlier, Thibodeau was in a walking boot. They do have Justin Flo, we're well aware of, 5-star, and Noah Sewell, Penei Sewell's brother, both 5-star linebackers. But that front 7, losing 2 of their top dogs, does not look good to me. I don't know the extent of these injuries. I'm sure that'll play out through the week. But even...
I'm sorry to interrupt, Joe. It's going to be a test to the depth of Oregon. First of all, it worked under Saban, knows the Alabama tree, the Alabama philosophy, and how to, you know, hope we'll see, well, his depth will get tested, especially on the road like that. We're trying to find our depth. We got a bunch of guys, and, you know, hopefully he... trying to figure out his guys because he's going to need them.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, our O-line, we're looking at Oregon's O-line. We just got done talking about Minnesota's O-line. These guys are saying the same goddamn thing about our O-line.
Yeah.
That's true.
They're like, fuck, this is going to be all day with these motherfuckers.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Oh, which back are they going to run as? I don't know. Three of them look like studs. Who knows?
Right.
The fast guy, the rock solid dude, or the other big guy.
And this is the issue we've always run into with, especially the Pac-12 teams, is the lack of depth. They might have good frontline guys at some positions, but they don't have depth. If one guy has to take a breather or gets hurt, they're in a world of hurt, you know, especially along the lines, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker. That's where things become dicey for them. So the questions for the Buckeyes really are injury related, right? I mean, Proctor, is he coming back? Do we need to see more Bryson Shaw? Not a big fan, personally. Banks and Brown, are they coming back?
Why was officially Banks out?
Yeah, I knew nothing about him being out. I had no idea.
He missed a lot of time during camp. There was never any injury report, so this is all going to be, you know, secondhand information. I never got any word as to why Banks was out. I assume it was related to the entire, you know, fall camp when he was missing a large part of it. Same with Cam Brown. Who knows? I mean, we've seen this before where week one, a lot of guys are suspended for failing a drug test, not passing classes. You know, we've seen Joey Bosa miss week one. We've seen Braxton Miller miss week one. We've seen, there's no word why, and that's even back when Urban was coach, you know. He would tell you everything he could. But who knows? These could be anything from injury to performance to class to smoking weed. I don't know. And same with Harry Miller, you know. Is he still dinged up from his shoulder surgery?
Right, that seemed like just a last minute. Nobody had any word about. It's like Harry Miller's out tonight.
Right,
Luke Whip, you know, that was just like a game time. Oh, Luke Whipper's over the first team.
Yeah, so we're lucky. I mean, the O line was almost perfect. Even Whipler, I mean, did have a couple worm burners off his butt, but only like two of them. But yeah, I mean, who comes back this week? You know. Proctor is my main concern because I thought he did a pretty good job of keeping things in front of him last week. And I'm not a huge fan of Bryson Shaw. Not saying that he caused any big plays, but I just haven't seen enough of him to feel comfortable.
Right. We'll stop being a prick and give him a chance.
All right, yeah, that's fine. But do you want to do that when it's a fucking, you know, a big play, big point in the game? A dude that hasn't really played. You know, same with the corners.
No, yeah, I want Proctor, man. Everybody back there, nobody's played.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So, of course we want the guy with the most experience. Yes, I do want him to play. I hope he's healthy. I mean,
Williamson?
He played some, but, I mean,
he wasn't playing the deep safety,
I don't believe. I think I saw him more in the dime slot.
Williamson?
Special
teams only.
Special teams only.
No defensive snaps. This is the thing that fucking pisses me off, is Craig Young got six goddamn defensive snaps. And Ronnie Hickman.
How does Williamson get zero? I mean, he's a fifth-year guy. He knows. I mean, then you're going to put all – I mean, I would just almost for – I guess Combs has a lot of faith in those kids.
Lathan Ransom is playing the same position. It's basically called cover safety, you know, a slot.
Yeah.
Slot corner.
Right.
So – but Craig Young, especially against a run, I'm not on board with playing Ronnie Hickman, smaller dude, against a running team like
he
a
flies
Minnesota.
Around, though.
He does, yeah. He led the team in tackles because he kind of had to. But Craig Young is fucking much bigger, dude. Like 20 pounds and 6 inches bigger, you know? I don't know how you only play him six snaps.
I did notice that Ronnie Hickman and a few other guys, I was like, well, they look small. Like, they don't look very big. But then I saw a lot of, I noticed a lot of other guys like, wow, that, yeah, okay, that dude's solid. Look at that. But Hickman did seem smaller than I would think for their ideal, right to that position.
Right.
He doesn't, it doesn't seem like he would be my ideal body type.
Yeah, but, they had him lined up over tight ends and shit.
That's what I'm, that's what I'm saying. When he's like almost in line, on the line of scrimmage over a tight end, like that's a big mismatch. He's, he doesn't know how to take on that tight end in a tackle combo or something on a block. Dude, he's gonna be out of there forcing a big asshole. That's, I mean, that asshole. That just seems like stuff that like that. It just seems like that would be something that would be easily exploited. Film study. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, so let's get into these microscopes on the Ducks. Let's start with Sean. Sean, who you got on offense under your microscope?
Well, I got a little taste, and I got a feeling we might get a little more flavor this week, so I'm going with my man, Travion Henderson. Ooh. I think coaches are going to go back and look and say, like, hey, I mean, he looks pretty electric. We've got to give him more than three touches. We gave him three last time. He took it to the house and averaged 7.5 carry on his two carries. So, I got my boy Travion.
Take it to the house. Take it to the house. Jeff, what do you got on offense?
I agree. It's a good point by Sean. I'm sure the coaches saw it abundantly clear. Yeah, okay. All right, so Trey's ready. We need to get him more in the offense. I'm sure they're working on that. I'm gonna go with, and I'm not sure if it's gonna be the right or left, but our tackle spots. If Thibodeau is playing, that's a big time. That's a lot of NFL scouts watching this game because that guy's a top five pick if he's healthy. I mean, maybe if he's not healthy for this game, it won't be as big of a deal, but. I hope he is healthy because it's going to be good competition, a good test for our guys.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much he rotates from right to left end, strong, weak side, or whatever. So that's why I would say our right and left tackle, whichever one's got Thibodeau.
The dancing players.
Whatever side he lines up on, it's going to be two first-rounders going against each other.
Right.
Right.
Dwan or MPF?
That's what I want to see. Like, this is good on good. This is some of the best on best. You got to win. You got to win your share. You got to win your majority. Yeah. So
okay, and keep in mind he might not be 100%. I'm assuming not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, whatever the health.
He'll get steroids and cortisone. He's gonna be fine.
Mainlining HGH right now.
Ooh. It seems like an obvious one, but you guys didn't take him, so I'm going to. I'm going CJ. I want to see a full game CJ. Two halves. Two halves that look alike. Like preferably good halves. I'm going CJ to light it up early and often. And doesn't need to. He's at home. Doesn't need to get comfortable. I think he's going to be fine. And it's just a matter of warming up and finding his guys. So CJ is my guy. Sean, what do you got on defense?
On defense, I have to go back and look, but I didn't hear much from him, and I'm going to need to see you hear a little more.
Tomorrow? Got it.
Okay. No. I would like to see some of that. But,
15 snaps last week, by the way.
Tyreek Smith.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. 48 snaps.
And this is his year. This time for him to be a difference maker. So here you go, national stage.
Contract year.
Makes plays.
What do you got, Jeff, on defense?
I'm going to look at our rotation. Our rotation in the defensive backfield. Like, how many guys are we still rotating? Have our starters gained more, the health of our projected two starters, just our corners in general, the rotation, who's playing, who's seeing the field the most.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of guys, and I don't know if a lot of them deserve it yet.
Run DMC. So,
there you go.
He didn't scare me the most out there, that's for sure.
right?
He didn't have, I mean, I don't think he had a lot of balls at him, you know, to challenge.
Yeah, not a lot of balls, no.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that there weren't any passes thrown at him.
Yeah.
Nobody's whipping the balls around.
That either, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so you're talking corners rotation is just, what you're focused
yeah,
on.
Yeah, see what the, yes.
So who's yeah, your starting corners? Let's say Banks and Brown are gone again.
If they're still out?
Yeah.
I think I still go with Burke and Watts.
Okay.
For confidence reasons, for those two, I'm like, yeah, you guys, we have two guys injured. You two are the next two up.
Yeah. Johnson got in there, didn't he?
Jakalen Johnson,
yeah, Jakalen, yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He get plus, yeah, he was in there a little bit. I mean, most of the guys was the most of the D line. I mean, hell, there was probably seven or eight different defensive linemen in the game, but. Yeah, I want to see what their rotation looks like. I'd like to know if our projected starters are not playing. At least let everybody know.
No, Jakalen Johnson have to give didn't play.
There was another freshman DB outside of Burke.
You sure about the snap counts?
Pretty sure. Yeah, I mean, you seem right. I mean, I didn't count them myself. Seems like this would be right.
I mean, what, check your source. What's your source, Joe? What are you looking at?
11 Warriors.
11 Warriors. That's pretty incredible. Sean, you got something different?
Oh yeah, I guess that's what I'm looking at too. I could have swore I saw.
Maybe you're looking at another Johnson.
Joe, do you have in front of you how many defensive backs played out of the 24? How many were defensive
backs? It's a lot, dude.
Okay.
Under safeties, they got everybody listed.
Yeah. Some were special teams only. But
one
guy
I remember that I did not see Cam Martinez.
Cam.
Special teams only.
Yep, there you go.
Court Williams.
Another one. Well, he's still recovering. I don't expect to see him in action yet.
So he didn't dress?
I doubt it.
Oh, see, I mean, because they don't ever give him any updates. Right. All I know is everybody raves about his work ethic, but there's never any update on the player. So, like, I don't know. Was he a healthy scratch? Is he in street clothes? Is he dressed? But he's just not ready yet. Like, there's no.
He has a middle to lower, but definitely mid-lower bodily injury. So let me give my defensive player for my microscope. I'm going Cody Simon. I want to see more Cody, less everybody else, especially against this Oregon run game. I want to see this guy in the middle gobbling up tackles and making plays. Gobble, gobble, gobble. So let's get our scores in here. Let's go back to Sean. Buckeyes are favored by 13. Over/under is 63.
Yeah, I got 42-24. Buckeyes cover and the over.
All right, Jeff, give it to me.
Weather's supposed to be pretty good in Columbus, I'm assuming.
You know what happens when you're assuming?
All right, so I'm taking a guess that there's going to be fair, at least weather, not to upset a passing game.
Yeah, you save time. You don't have to look the shit up when you assume.
Yeah, and Sean nailed it. 42-24. I will go 42-27 just to be different. But that was my score.
That is your score. I'm going 52-13. Buckeyes win going away. Never a ball game. 50
burger, huh?
Yeah. I think C.J. Stroud comes out very confident and very ready to throw darts all over the shoe.
So, like he's a Fresno State Bulldog.
Yeah, could be. Could be. If he goes for 300, I'll take it. So I do have a handful of games. We don't have to talk about them deeply, but I just want to get your 2 cents, each of you, on this one. I'm going to run through 6 games, and I want you to give me just what you think about each one. Let's go Penn State, Wisconsin. That was a hell of a ball game to me.
That was really hard to watch in the first half. Holy shit. That was a tough watch. I'm surprised by Penn State's defense, but not worried about their offense at all.
Yeah.
I don't think they know how to get the ball to Jahan Dotson anymore.
Well, you stand back as far as you can and you chuck it as far as you can. Simple, Jeff. Come on.
I feel like Wisconsin just didn't want to win that game.
It's they didn't have the guys to cover Dotson, and yeah, they kept coughing it up. What, they have three fumbles?
They had a first and goal at the two with
maybe have under a
minute left.
Right.
And maybe play more than five games of good football before you get a logo and put a brand on yourself.
Ooh. That's a Jack Cone burn. If you would have told me that was Jack Cone back there, I would have said, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I looked at the stats. I'm like, that looks like every Wisconsin quarterback ever for eternity. Yeah. I'm like, you're not fucking special, Mertz. He did not. He looked like, I'm not really here for this gunfight. You know what I mean? Like he didn't want it.
Well, they're not calling plays to highlight the quarterback. Exactly. They don't have a Quintez Cephas. They don't have a fast guy that they got.
Davis is good. Davis is a good receiver, but he's not the game breaker and the possession guy and everything else. They got one good receiver, and the running backs are highly rated. I mean, they have respectable running backs. That dude that came from Clemson, he's legit. I just don't think he'll hold up doing 30 carries all year.
Yeah,
but. Penn State's defense impressed me, though. They look good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Penn State, the definitely
their offense
looked a lot better than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Wisconsin's running back, that
Malusi? Yeah, Chaz.
Went for 120. Noah Kane only went for 48.
And he looked good. He didn't get the opportunities, I don't think. Right. I don't know what his average was, but he looked good when I saw him in the game.
Just six, but again, like I said, Sean Clifford is just—he drops back as far as he can and just chucks it off of his back foot.
I don't know what their offense. Yeah, it's Yurchik's offense. Yeah, I think it's supposed to look a lot like Ohio State. If I had to guess,
no thanks.
It seems like what they're trying to do looks like a lot of what we're trying to do. Yeah. I saw the crossing patterns that we have, right. And Clifford like. Like his two guys crossing each other, confused him.
Right. Yeah. Well, Ryan Day brought that to the Ohio State offense, and yours is probably just trying to copy and paste.
Sure. Well, sure. Why not? It worked over here.
So let's jump over to Iowa and Indiana. You guys see this shit show? Good God.
I was working most of
the day. Fortunately not.
I went back. I watched the. I chose the Wisconsin game on the DVR. I didn't know the score. But then by the time that game was over, I saw the Wisconsin or the Indiana score. I was like, oh, I don't need to check this out. Iowa dominating Indiana. Yeah. Didn't need to watch it. I'll take your word for it.
Penix is terrible. Three picks. Two pick sixes.
I did not see Iowa dominating Indiana. I did not see that coming at all.
Well, that's what happened. You missed it. Indiana is not the second best team in the Big Ten East. I'll clarify that for everybody that was all over Indiana coming out of last year.
Yeah, I am. I'm still there.
Okay. There you go. I'm going to take the under on that seven and a half win total on the season. Too bad.
Ooh, really?
I can't get that action anymore. Otherwise, I would.
Seven and a half for the season?
That's what it was before week one, yes.
But I would have taken over. I mean, you win with eight. You win at 8-4. I would have picked it, Indiana 8-4 easily. Possibly 9-3.
Yeah.
I still think I'm 8-4.
I mean, but I'm saying, before the season, if they had some magic like they did last year, some late games, Penix might be able to make plays late in the game.
Yeah.
You know, I figured they might be able to get to 9-3 with an upset here and there.
Nice, we think it's magic. So this one, I didn't see any of this other than the 20-minute condensed version. Georgia and Clemson. Clemson is in big, big trouble.
I watched every play of that game, Joe. Every play.
I'm sorry to hear that, dude. Why did you waste your life like that?
Well, I was up to about 1:30. I watched three games. I was up to about 1:30 this morning on the back porch watching. I watched the whole game. Holy shit. DJ, he didn't know what to do, man.
He's not going to finish the season, man.
Their O-line is a sieve. They're getting beat.
Georgia's defense is real.
It's real.
Oh yeah, I'm not denying that. I mean,
but they were flexing on Clemson last night.
Yeah, but so was Clemson. I mean, there was not a touchdown given up in that game.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The defense is. I mean, the Clemson's defense is legit too. Yeah.
Ugalugale is no Trevor Lawrence.
Ukulele.
No. And he doesn't want to run. He's like he looked more almost like a Cardale. Like when Cardale first served, and like he was limited, you know, like Cardale had a great arm, he's big, didn't like to run a whole lot.
I'll tell you though, I wasn't impressed with Georgia's offense either. They didn't do anything. No, JT Daniels threw for 135, dude. Zamir White, you know, supposed to be five-star stud, went for 74. I mean, these receivers didn't do dick.
Well, I think White is the best out of the four that they played.
Sure,
they played four running backs. I mean, they were trying to. That's probably Kirby trying to keep his, like, you know, we have quarterbacks, he has running backs. He's probably trying to keep everybody happy, you know.
Yeah.
But because they don't have one guy that's stepped ahead, so they're playing everybody.
And they got no receivers because everybody's down. So this Georgia offense, you know, that was supposed to be so revolutionary has reverted back to 1980, you know, and run. And we'll score touchdowns on defense, I hope. That's their innovation.
Yeah. But, their defense is legit, and they are – I mean, they're a national. They look like a national championship. Yeah.
Sean, what do you think?
I mean, already.
Sean, what do you think? Does it say your defensive line's really good if you're getting home with four, or does it say the other team's offensive line is terrible?
Well, it can say either thing. I would say a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B, but I think, you know, Clemson doesn't. That Clemson team does not look like it could be national championship caliber. Georgia kind of does to me. If they clean up some things, they could be that caliber. Problem is, Clemson's going to probably make the playoff because North Carolina looks like shit. Miami looks like shit. Mm-hmm. Florida State, I don't know, we're in the middle of that. What are they doing? They probably look like shit.
And they're hanging with – well, I got the game on delay a little bit, but they're hanging with Notre Dame. But at least through the first quarter, first half, they're hanging right with Notre Dame. Looking good on defense.
DJ's definitely going to get 2017. The talent's there.
2017 FSU.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
Third quarter.
I guess I'll just fast forward.
DJ, the talent's there with him. He's going to get better as the season goes on. But, I mean, they've got a walk in the park to the playoff, I feel, even with the loss, opening loss to Georgia.
See, I think an opening loss for Georgia to Clemson would have been easier for them to get into the playoffs. I think there's no way that we don't see two SEC teams in the playoffs, Bama, Georgia. It seems like all but written in stone.
So you're saying Georgia's only loss is the Bama in the championship game?
Exactly.
So yeah, undefeated, like an undefeated Bama and a
one loss Georgia.
Even a one loss Bama, as long as they beat Georgia in the championship game, whichever.
Yeah, one or the other.
Okay. No, we could. The only thing is if there's undefeated ACC, undefeated Pac-12, undefeated Big Ten.
Jeff, quality of losses. SEC, you lose to the SEC. That's a quality loss.
Right. So I mean, like, it would take like a USC being undefeated in the Pac-12. They would get in over Georgia's one loss, losing a championship.
That's a fucking reach.
That's a reach.
I think the committee would do it that way. I'm not saying what I would do. I'm guessing that's how it would play out.
All right. So, moving on, bloodbath in Atlanta. No, it was not another gang-related drive-by shooting. This was actually a football game in the stadium. Bama makes quick work of the Canes. We miss you, big play, J-Mo. Love to watch you ball, 95-yarder. But didn't expect much to come out of that from the Canes. And, back to reality for Miami.
I thought they'd put up a little better fight than that. I mean, they were outclassed from the second.
Yeah.
They stepped. They got up.
I think the spread on that game was 17.5. I want to say. And Bama got up to 20.
I had some solid action on that.
Okay. Congratulations.
I did very well.
So, I mean, but Bama averages in that opening game or whatever, I think they averaged like a 22-point. Margin of victory, so I didn't expect anything else. I didn't expect Miami to really threaten anything with Bama.
I got to tell you guys, I think of all the teams that are in contention, most of us have new quarterbacks. His name's escaping me right now, but I like Alabama's Bryce Young.
Yeah, he's like a little guy. Kid. He's a little guy.
He's composed.
Yeah.
And he goes about his business.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue with that. I mean, he's definitely dropped into a great situation.
But I mean, compare him to the first start with CJ and DJ.
Right.
I think he outperformed both of them just throughout the game, and regardless of even the final numbers, I don't know if he had better numbers than.
Yeah, he had 344 and 4 touchdowns.
But early on in that game, I think Miami was bringing 3 or something, and he was something. I mean, he was standing there like I was standing in the street, you know, looking for somebody, waiting for somebody to get open. Yeah. I mean, I hope Alabama's O-line isn't that good where no one can get to this guy.
Well, they didn't do a lot running the ball, I'll tell you that. Their running game was virtually non-existent. Leading rusher Brian Robinson had 60 yards. Trey Sanders had 40. It was kind of a mixed bag of little bit unimpressive, honestly.
Well, the only thing I'm sure of is that Bama's number one and they deserve it.
Oh, I'm not going to debate that. It's a tough one. I'm not betting against them either. I mean, I had like 6 bets on that game, and they all cashed in favor of Bama. So
yeah, so you have to assume Georgia's going to go to 2 with Oklahoma struggling.
Struggling
in their home opener.
Yeah.
So I would imagine, you know, Georgia jumping to 2, yeah. Oklahoma 3, we stay at 4.
I think we jumped to 3, actually. At Oklahoma, struggling.
Did you watch that game?
No, I didn't. I was just following the scoring on it.
Green Wave, the fucking Green Wave smacked Oklahoma in the fucking face. They came back big time on Oklahoma and recovered an onside kick with 2 minutes to go and couldn't do anything with it, down 1 score. That was huge. I mean... And again, we're going to bang on Alex Grinch. I mean, he might be just a pinata for Buckeye fans, but his defense gave up some fucking yards, man. That quarterback was moving the ball in the second half on that team. I don't want to hear, the team got soft because they were up big. No, you got to play 60 minutes, man. So, yeah. What about LSU?
Oh, I saw that game. I saw that nightcap.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Break up the Bruins, man.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though. Those UCLA unis look beautiful. That is a beautiful-looking uniform. That shade of gold with the blue, mm-hmm. It works. and they played good.
Yeah,
but I couldn't believe LSU, like, and they were able to operate their offense without even looking at Darryl Stingley. he was not involved in that game.
Yeah.
You know, for the majority, because they said, "No, we don't need to challenge you."
Yeah, I didn't watch that game. I'll probably go back and rewatch it tomorrow. But looks like former Michigan man Zach Charbonnet has found himself a home, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Had a big week one, and then had another great week this week against a legit SEC defense. Allegedly.
What did the other guy go for, Joe? The other running back they have? He looked pretty good.
UCLA?
Do you have it in front of you?
Britton Brown. He went for 96 on 17 carries for a touchdown. Yeah.
What did
Charbonnet have?
He had 117 on 11. 10.6 average.
Yeah, that other dude, I mean, they were just physical. Like, they took it to LSU.
It's hilarious to see a Chip Kelly team run the fuck out of the ball like that. I mean, wow.
Yeah. They kept showing Coach O on the sideline. He's just fucking sweating.
Yeah, I bet.
the gig's up. They're going to know I'm a fraud. I got to get out of here. You got sweating like a used car salesman.
Right. So, yeah, that was the last one I really wanted to talk about. We talked about Oklahoma barely surviving.
I got to say, I mean, how good is it that college football's back? I watched some videos of, Enter Sandman at Vatek.
Right.
And the jump around at Wisconsin.
That was awesome.
And it's just, man, I love this freaking game. College football, it's the shit.
Yeah.
That's been going, in my opinion.
That's why we do this. We do this like nudists. Anyway, I got the Gators coming over here to Tampa this weekend against USF. So
there you go, Emory.
Emory Jones. I come over and heckle him. They barely escaped with a fucking win last week.
That's going to be covered up with orange and blue, dude. You don't even want to go out. You don't even want to go over the bridge.
I won't.
Gators will take over that fucking town.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, all right, boys. Excellent show. Let's get together next Sunday and recap another Buckeye dub. What do you think?
Sounds good. Yeah, it's going to be a good game. I think this is the most talented team we'll face this year. Roster talent, I believe there is the highest. Yeah. So it's going to be a real good test.
Yeah,
but I think we're ready. I think we learned a lot. I think the coaches learned a lot. I got faith in those coaches making adjustments. And
yeah.
Looking forward to seeing what those adjustments are, because there's a lot to adjust.
Yeah, it's all about getting the dub. And like Ryan Day said, come up for air after this week and see what you got.
Get some experience. It takes a few games.
Yeah. But don't sleep on Rutgers. You just laid 60 on somebody.
Temple.
On Temple. That's awesome. I love to see Rutgers back. It'd be nice if they were competitive, like when it was High State, of course High State beat up on Michigan State and Rutgers, and people say, oh, well, Rutgers is a good squad, though. I mean, that was a good win. I'd love for it to get to that point. Get them.
I would just like to see Rutgers beat Michigan. I'm good with
give
that.
Them, 7-8 wins. Like, is there, 9 wins is their peak? From 7, keep a lot of 7-8 win seasons. That'd be perfect for us.
Hey, in the middle of that same vein, Maryland just beat West Virginia. So watch out, Maryland.
What was the final on that? I didn't see the final on that score.
I don't remember. Off the
highest scoring? I expected that game.
No,
I feel like it was. I feel like it was in the 20s. Yeah. But Maryland was behind. So maybe Maryland scored late. I feel like they were behind 3 or 4.
Yeah. Huh. I don't remember the final, but it was a tight one. But anyway. All right, boys. Good show. And we will reconvene next week.
All right.
See ya.
Sounds good. See ya. Later.